Good evening. I gotta say it first, I wouldn't have made it this far if it wasn't for the Lord, glory to God. I'm going through the first chapter of Psalms this evening, and it's kind of as I'm going over these verses, verse by verse, I'll be kind of explaining what I think about them and how they can relate to my life and what I've been through, and it's kind of from experience. I made some mistakes, went down the wrong road for a little while, and was able to make it back, thank the Lord. And hopefully I can save somebody from going through the same trouble, Hopefully you can learn some things from my mistakes instead of having to go through it yourself. I'm mainly going to be speaking to the teens tonight. Is that y'all over there? Over there? All right, this area here, that works. So hopefully... you won't have to go through what I went through with all of it. And Psalms 1:1, Scripture says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now, blessed just basically means happy. So if you're running around with the right types of people, not with the ungodly, you're going to be a lot happier in life. I know that sounds simple, but it really is applicable to your daily life. The type of friends that you make, the type of people that you run around with is going to make a difference in who you are and how you act and where you end up, in life and eternally. Like they say, good company is good for you, and bad company corrupts good morals. That's in the Bible. It says in the verse, stands in the path of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful. It's like when you're going through life and you see people over there and they're not doing right, the illusion that gets put off by them to us, I know how it was for me growing up in the church. I grew up, just like y'all, hopefully you're doing the right thing, having strayed off the right path. And, from that perspective, when you see what's going on, it looks like it's all peaches and cream. Not having to worry about what's right and what's wrong and just doing whatever's fun, But I can tell you right now, it's a lot of temporary gratification that disappears pretty quick, and it leads to a lot of long-term suffering. It's the simple truth of the matter. I went out there and made a lot of mistakes, and I didn't fry too many brain cells. I could still make do, but I'm still paying the price in some areas. I'm getting back on my feet financially and spiritually, and it's just not something you want to have to experience for yourself if you can avoid it. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And that's basically about just having a spiritual mindset. If your delight is in the law of the Lord, and you're studying the Scriptures daily, and you when you're going through life, and you're going to school or to the beach or wherever it might be, and you've got them Scriptures in your mind, and you're thinking about those Scriptures, you're gonna do awesome in life. I mean, really, as I was gonna mention this later on in my lesson here, but if you've got those Scriptures etched in your mind and on your heart, then when you're going through life and trials come about, opportunity to do wrong or things happen that could upset you in life, and you've got that to draw from, you'll be able to remember those Scriptures, and it'll help you make it through those trying times. It's really important. You got to have the words in this book etched in your heart to make it through the rough times in life. That's very important. In verse 3, the Scripture says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Now, just like how a tree draws up water through its roots, the type of people that we hang around, whether it's good people or bad people, we kind of draw from them. If you're running around with good people all the time, it's going to affect how you act, how you talk. If you're hanging around bad people, it's the same thing. It's going to affect how you act and how you talk and how you think, you know. I always thought that oh, I grew up in the church. I know what the Bible says. I could run around with them kind of people and not even have to worry about turning into one of them. But truth be known, if you run around with soccer players for long enough, you might start playing soccer, you know. That's kind of, you know, it's inevitable, really. They say in Georgia, if you go to a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. You know, in that verse, it also talks about fruit that brings forth fruit in its season. Now, whether we're being a good tree or a bad tree, we're going to produce fruit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, happiness, those are things that you want to have in your life. You know, going out there, running around, doing bad stuff, you know, sinning all the time, it has its fruits too. There's unplanned pregnancies going on out there. There's people lose their mind getting high. They lose jobs, money, cars, marriages. Believe me, it's not something you want to experience firsthand. You know, you want to bear good fruit in life. You don't want to have bad fruit. You know, it's just like where it says you prosper. You know, prospering, you know, you want that to be in a good way. You know, it's like the seeds that we sow, we'll reap the harvest from it. So plant good seeds, you know, that's important. There's also in that verse, it talks about whose leaf shall not wither. It's talking about the tree. Its leaf shall not wither. You know, if you're doing the right thing, drawing clean water from good people you're spending time around, instead of drawing up polluted water from bad company you're spending time around, you know, your leaf isn't going to wither. Now, to me, that makes me remember back when I was out there running around. And, you know, if you take somebody and look at them and compare somebody that has been running around, tearing their body up, staying up all night, doing who knows what, and compare them to somebody that's the same age and they've been taking care of themselves and getting a good night's rest at night and everything, and you'll notice a big difference. You know, it really takes a toll on the body, that type of lifestyle. And, you know, you'll stay good looking for longer if you behave yourself. You know, I mean, really, it's true. And I guess in the next verse, in verse 4, it says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Now, chaff is kind of like in I think it was the Hebrews, or back in the day when they were preparing wheat, they would, like two people would hold a blanket on either end, and they'd put the wheat in the middle of it, and they would shake it up and down, they would do this on the top of a hill where the wind was blowing through there, and as it bounced up and down on the blanket, the chaff would be like the husk kind of, and it would separate from the wheat, and the chaff would just blow away in the wind. And, you know, of course, they kept the wheat, you know. So the chaff blows away in the wind. It's comparing a life of sin to being the chaff. You know, when it comes time, you know, on Judgment Day or time to prove ourselves to the Lord, we don't want to be like the chaff that gets blown away in the wind. You know, we want to be the good of the crop. In verse 5, the scripture says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." This reminds me, about 10 years ago, my dad would say to me, "You know, the decisions that you're making right now are going to affect you for the rest of your life." Now, he was right, you know. Looking back on it, you know, they always say hindsight's 20/20. You know, the decisions that you're making right now are going to affect you for the rest of your life, possibly even eternally. You know, you want to make good decisions, because just like the tree bearing fruit, you know, the actions and the decisions that you make in your life right now is going to have an impact on how you spend the rest of your life and possibly even eternity. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, if you mess up a little bit or whatever, you can't make it back to the right path. You can, you know, but trust me, it's not worth having to figure things out the hard way. Most of the time what happens is people out there in the world that are doing things their way instead of God's way, something, if they do decide to start onto the right path and start doing things right, it's usually something that happens to cause them to come to that conclusion, okay? Now, it could either be a car accident where somebody gets seriously injured and they say, oh, you know, thank God I made it. I'm going to start doing right now, you know? It could be any different number of things that happens in life that would cause somebody to make it to the Lord, to the church, to the Lord's fold. You just got to hope that it's, you know, if you know somebody out there that's doing wrong and you're hoping that they start to do right, you just got to hope it's something that's not too drastic or too damaging to them that's going to cause them to, you know, start doing the right thing. Myself, I had a little girl, you know, my daughter's 3 years old, and I wanted her to be raised in the church like I was and be able to know the difference between right and wrong. You know, you're very privileged to have parents that are in the church that care about your soul. You know, if you can use that to your advantage, you know, do it. I mean, you don't, trust me, I went out there and figured out that they were right. Dan was right. My dad was right. You know, it took me having to go out to the school of hard knocks and bump my head a few times to figure it out, but they're right. You know, if you can learn from my mistakes and not have to go through it yourself, if maybe just one of you doesn't have to go through what I went through, it's worth me getting up here and getting nervous and getting up here and speaking. You know, it's really, it's an important thing. I mean, it's really, literally, your life is on the line. I mean, to make the right decisions is very important, especially at your age, you know. On Judgment Day, we will be held accountable for what we do. As the verse is talking about, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. We want to be on the good side of things, you know, on Judgment Day. And it's talking about sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I look back on when I had just started messing up a little bit, and I thought nobody knew. They knew. Well, I might have been able to pull the wool over somebody's eyes at first for a little while, but after a while, when you're going out on the weekend and partying and doing whatever, you know, it kind of becomes obvious. And 9 times out of 10, you know, I've gone to AA meetings and I'm in a recovery program right now up in Georgia. And I spend time around addicts, you know, or ex-addicts, you know, and everybody, 9 times out of 10, the mindset of somebody when they're doing all that mess is they think they're doing it, but nobody else knows. And it's like coming to church, you know, you walk around smiling and mingling and everything and acting like everything's okay. And if something's going on in your life and you don't think anybody else knows, it ain't the case. I mean, I know I came in here, you know, thinking nobody knew, but like Dan said, you know, people knew what was going on, you know. I wasn't fooling anybody, you know. So, I mean, that basically nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, I mean, by all means, if you're not doing right and you're coming to church, keep coming to church, you know. It's the best thing for you, you know, and it'll help you get straightened out, you know. I mean, addiction is a spiritual sickness, and the cure for a spiritual sickness is the gospel, you know. That's one thing I've had to learn, you know. There, you know, just drinking or partying, the things I was doing, that wasn't the problem itself. It was a symptom of the problem, but the problem itself was a spiritual sickness. And being, you know, raised in the church, being around all these good people here, you got every opportunity in the world to draw from this good environment and learn as much as you can from it and you know, have your heart right with God. You know, I just do things the right way. I mean, it's really, it seems like a simple thing to say, but it really is important. And then verse 6, the scripture says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, God inspired the writers that wrote the Bible, and, you know, His way is right in front of you. If you want to know the way of the righteous, you know, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He inspired it for the 40 men to write. You know, it's in between these covers. You know, if you study it every day and etch these words on your heart, you'll be able to make it through the trials that you go through in life. I know I already said it once, but it can't hurt to say it again. You know, when you're going through life, you're going to go through times when you're making a decision. Either is, am I going to do this, or am I not going to do this, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? When these things come about in life, and you can either make the right decision and keep going through life on the right track, or make the wrong decision, make the right decision. Trust me. If you've got these words in your heart that you can draw from, you know, let's see, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, if you're thinking about running around with the wrong crowd at school on Friday night to see what's going on over at the party at so-and-so's house, and you're trying to decide, should I go or should I not go? Draw from that scripture right there in your mind. Blessed is a man who walks not with the ungodly, you know, and that'll help you make the right decision. I'm just trying to give an example of how to, you know, use these scriptures to help you make it through life and stay on the right track. In that verse, says the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, that's it makes me think about a fork in the road, where, you know, you've got the narrow path which leads to life and heaven, and the broad path to destruction. Now, when you're going through your life, I think everybody, this is kind of applicable to everybody. You always are at that fork in the road, because we've got a freedom of conscience. If you've been on a path that isn't so good for a while, it's never too late to turn and start doing right, you know. And unfortunately, it's the same way. If you've been doing right for a long time, it's, you know, unfortunately, we have the freedom of conscience to start doing wrong. You got to be careful about that, you know. You want to keep doing right. If you're on a good track, stick with it. Keep doing the right thing. You know, the things that happen on the wrong path are not good. You know, it's poverty, death, you know, physical and spiritual, jail. I mean, I've talked to guys that have gone through years of addiction and seen what they've gone through. I went through some of the stuff myself, you know, but to hear some of the other things, it's like, they always said that's what goes on with them people, but maybe they're just telling me that so I wouldn't do it, you know. But it's real. Believe me, it's real. That's pretty much all the information that I had prepared to go over tonight, but, you know, I can't emphasize enough just to do the right thing. When you're going through life, you know, have these words on your heart to draw from and do the right thing. And, you know, don't go out there and go through the school of hard knocks and have to figure it all out for yourself. You know, the people that are telling you to do right and say the right things and come to church when you have the opportunity, you know, trust them. They're doing the right thing. They're looking out for your best interests. You know, if you want to come up, about Project Rescue, sorry. Well, right now I'm enrolled in a program up in Georgia. It's called Project Rescue. Ronnie Crocker's the director of the program. And there's six guys in the program. There's Chris from Alabama, Travis from Texas, Randy from, I think, Indiana, Kevin from New Mexico, and I mean, it's a group of good old boys, and then Ryan from Fernandina Beach. You know, it's a good place. You know, we've all messed up a little bit, and we're trying to get ourselves back on track. You know, if anybody would like any information about it, either talk to me, or I know you can go to www.projectrescue.com, but it's a good thing.
Can you see a change? You want to see repentance? There it is. If you want to see the glory of God, you see it in one of sheep who's come home. Amen. That's change. That's how the gospel works. And we think about us and our lives, we've all been someplace we shouldn't have. We've all been on the wrong side of sin. We've all been in a relationship where we have not been with God. And I think of the church in Corinth when Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he writes to them and he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you." Now that's quite a list. You know, that's quite a list. And we think about, well, you know, we go to church and go there with nice, good church-going folk. Nice, good church-going folk have problems. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. No sin is more greater than the other. All of them have different consequences. All of them have different things we have to live with. But all will separate us from the love of God. All of us will separate from God and that relationship with Him. But such were some of you. We all have a past. We all have a past. We can't say, well, you know, I won't do that. I won't do those kinds of things. We've all have a past. In verse 11, where he says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You were washed, made clean, given a new beginning, having a new start. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite smells is when clothes come out of the dryer, right? Not when they go in the wash, but when they come out of the dryer. Being washed. Sanctified, set apart. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, no matter what kind of life I've walked before, when I come to Christ and submit fully to Him and say, "I'm going to live my life like You want me to, Lord, and repent from where I've been," I can be washed. I got to preach one time when we were trying out, and just when I was getting up, you know, they told me, "Oh, by the way, we're broadcasting live on the radio while you're preaching." Information I should have known before I got up there. But sometimes people get in the idea that, you know, I can't come to church because I've sinned too much. This is where you should be. My message to those who were listening were, you can come and the building will not fall down. Because it's not about the building. It's about the body. And Christ has made the body, and Christ has made the church out of people who opposed Him. When I think of one who has changed, can we think of Paul? Can we think of Paul? Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, when he wrote to them, he talked about how he was opposing the church and how he changed. He says in verse 13, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism." And he goes through a list of the things he had done and how he had changed. And then he says in verse 23 of chapter 1, he says, "They only..." Talking about those churches in Judea, "they were only hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me." A change comes about. And we can be accredited, and he can be accredited for the work that has gone into a change, but the glory goes to God. The glory goes to God. We want to see the glory of God, we see it in a penitent heart, a sheath that returns home. Tonight, you can be washed. You can be made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone," that means you, no one's left out, "if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." You can have a new start. Anyone can be in Christ. You must first believe, John 8, 24. You must repent, Acts 2, 38. Peter said to those who cried out, "What are we going to do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Despair. What shall we do? Repent and let every one of you be baptized." Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, "We must confess. If you confess with the mouth the Lord is Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." We must be baptized. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Amen. Being baptized, added to the body. And we must be certain. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. "Be faithful unto death, and He will give you a crown." Do you want to be new? Do you want to have a fresh start? Do you want to smell like clean laundry? you want to glorify God, then come now as we stand together and as we sing.